Amen. Well, we'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and verse number 18. I was actually talking to someone today that said that Ecclesiastes is one of their favorite books of the Bible. Amen. And I would agree that it is. We just want to be careful when we study the book of Ecclesiastes. Remember, there's a phrase in the book of Ecclesiastes that's repeated. Does anybody remember what that phrase is? Yes, Hannah. Yes, under the sun. Amen. And that refers to the fact that it's Solomon's perspective of life under the sun. Not in heaven, but under the sun, meaning that on earth. Amen. And we definitely want to keep that in mind as we read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, of course, being the author. What other books did Solomon write? Give me one. Proverbs. Yeah, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Yeah, has his name in it. Amen. And that is really good. So praise the Lord. A very, very wise man asked for wisdom, and God gave him just that. Amen. By the way, Ecclesiastes kind of has a secondary theme. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. So I just don't know why my life is so hard. Well, just read the book of Ecclesiastes. Amen. You'll get some insight into that. Solomon, who had endless resources, he struggled too. Amen. And so the answer to your problems is not more resources, more wealth. That's what most people think, that if I just had some more money, all my problems would be solved. There might be a couple problems solved, but there also might be a few created. Amen. And so that's not the answer. The answer is what Solomon said at the end of the book in Ecclesiastes 12. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I love chapter 3. It says that there's a time to every purpose under the heaven. Amen? So I just don't like the stage of life I'm in. Read Ecclesiastes 3. And you'll find that that there's just a time to every purpose. I also like how he says that time and chance happeneth to us all. Amen? You will have a chance and you will have time to do all that God has given you to do. Amen? Isn't that a blessing? You didn't draw the short straw. Amen? We're all sinners. We all need to be born again, but you will have opportunity if you'll just consider God and his word. Amen. All right. Ecclesiastes 9, just one verse tonight, looking at this verse, verse number 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for tonight. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for, God, this time of year and all the things that we have on our plate, Lord, going into this season. Upcoming here, God, and I'm excited about that, God. I pray you'd help us to be effective and effectual, Lord, in our reaching out. But Lord, at the same time, we need your word. We need help from above, God. I pray you'd supply that tonight to us, and whatever the need is in each of our lives, Lord, if it be salvation, show us the gospel, I pray, through this text. And God, if it be just some help along our way, Lord, I pray you'd provide it tonight. We love you. We thank you. We need you, God, just to help us to tune into this site, thy word, we pray. We thank you now and love you, God, for all you've done and what you will do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like to do is start off and to try to memorize this verse. It's really easy. We're going to just review it a few times. And then as we study it, hopefully by the time you leave tonight, you will have this verse memorized. Amen. You say, I thought that was Sunday night. Well, it is. Amen. But we can memorize more scripture than just that from Sunday night. Amen. So Ecclesiastes 9:18. Say it with me. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. It's interesting. Let's say that again. Ecclesiastes 9:18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Amen. Again. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Anybody have that? Say it. Yes, Kaylee.
Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good.
Excellent. Anybody else? See? Yes, Hannah?
Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good.
Good, good. Luke? Amen. We got a good start. Amen. Hopefully by the end, we'll review it again. We'll have it down. Amen. Let's break this up into a couple parts here. It's split up already in the passage naturally. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. And so this is a very interesting passage of scripture. Wisdom here is compared in our text two weapons of war. Amen. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that true? Not true at all. Not true at all. Amen. It's a different type of hurt, right? But that's not true. Words are powerful. They could be powerfully used for good. They can also be powerfully used for evil. Wisdom is basically knowing first the truth, the knowledge of God, and then knowing how to rightly apply that truth. But in reference to the comparison here, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Let's consider some of the weapons of war that are out there. In our day, we could consider even in Solomon's day. But I was just thinking through, wrote down some things. I wrote down guns, right? Guns are used in a war, right? Small arms, if you will, whether a sidearm or a rifle, those are used even as you go up the rank a little bit, bigger guns. That's used in war, right? You have an enemy and you reach out and you try to eliminate the enemy with a gun, maybe a tank. That's a weapon of war, right? If you saw a tank rolling down your street, you'd understand that there's something going on, right? Maybe an occupation attempt or maybe a civil disobedience. Something's trying to calm down. I know even police nowadays have similar types of things along the lines of tanks. And so that would not be a good sight to see rolling down your city street. Propaganda is an interesting one that's been utilized as a weapon of war. In wartime, they'll actually put pamphlets together and fly over and dump out a bunch of pamphlets so people will read things, typically used to turn them against their government or strike fear in their heart. But propaganda is a weapon of war that I thought of anyway. Traditional bombs, right? The bombs that are just full of some sort of a TNT or explosive that they drop into an area or propel into an area that explodes. Nuclear bombs, horrible, have rarely been used. Horrible, though, if they are utilized because of the potential long-term effect of those things, not to mention the actual devastation that it does wreak on an area. Sanctions have been used recently as a weapon of war. A sanction would be financial pressure, right? Where you're able to try to squeeze off funds or limit somehow the exchange of money or the ability to use money. That's been a weapon of war. Threats are weapons of war that aren't necessarily always by wisdom, but a threat of force. Can you think of any other type of a weapon of war? Oh man, even like today, like a cyber attack would be, let alone maybe infrastructure like cutting off resources. Yeah, that's really good. I know in the years gone by, like in the older day with the walled cities and all that, they'd actually cut off the water from flowing into that city or in the food supply going and out, because so that's a weapon of war, right? They would they put a bulwark, if you will, around a city and isolate that city. That would definitely be a weapon of war. John? Whew. Can you imagine if someone actually in a lab somewhere, say over in another country, formulated maybe something, say like COVID or something? Can you imagine how that would really affect the world if that was to happen? I don't know if that happened. But you could see how biological warfare could happen on a world scale. It could also happen on a localized scale in a wartime to release a biological agent or bacteria of sorts or virus. Absolutely. Yeah, or putting smallpox in blankets and things like that. Absolutely. Yeah. And so, and then hand them out, say, hey, we're here to help, right? In reality, no, you're not. You're here to wipe us out. So these are weapons of war. Do you kind of get the idea? And this passage says, what's better than a weapon of war? Okay. Who would, it, when we talk about wartime, is it friends that are engaged in war against each other? Hopefully not, right? So who's at war against each other? Would be enemies. What makes someone an enemy of another? Just a different of a view? What's that? That's where it starts. It can. So where does it become someone's your enemy? I mean, I don't agree with you all on everything, right? But you're not my enemy, right? Hopefully I'm not your enemy because I don't agree with you on 100%, but yes. Right. Their purpose. Right? A need or a purpose. Were you going to say something, Patricia?
I was thinking, you know, when politics are, they're all lying about each other.
I guess lying, that's propaganda, right? Yeah. That would be a weapon of war, right? Unfortunately, in our country, it's almost like our world's kind of being divided, or our country into two sides, that it's becoming very much like we have enemy factions now, right? Like, oh, you're Democrat, or you're Republican, or you're whatever, and I don't like you now just based on that or whatever. And so that's happening, right? And so why is that? Because there's ideals that are believed by this side or by this side, and those ideals directly go against somebody else. And that's kind of where we're at today in this this political structure of the day. And it gets, I mean, we got people right now like camping out on college campuses and all that over all kinds of things, right? Just trying to force the hand in different things and get that. That's, in a sense, that would somewhat be of a weapon of war on that end. It's where you have an enemy and you're gonna try to move their hand. That's the point of this text, right? Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Why would somebody use a weapon of war to change a position of somebody else, practically speaking? Doesn't mean they're going to change internally, but practically what they do or how they go about doing something, right? And so we want to just see what this text is talking about. So in our own lives, do we ever have enemies in our own lives? Yeah. Now, we've talked a lot nationally and all that. Let's bring it down more individually. When do we have someone that we would count as an enemy, or they would count us as an enemy? A grudge? What would a grudge be held over? Yeah.
Yep.
Property, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. A car, right? A fender bender on a car or something like that. Whatever. It could be a whole host of things. Were you going to say something, Hannah?
I was gonna say, if somebody is perceived to be trying to hurt you, whether they are or not,
yeah. Yeah. Do marriages ever turn into like enemy factions? How about kids and parents? Do kids and parents ever see each other as enemies? You think a kid in the home, say a teenager, ever sees his parents as their enemy? Why would a teenager perceive his parents as his enemy? Yes, Nancy?
Because they can't get their way.
Right, because they're keeping them from something they want to do, right? You can't keep me from my Xbox. Oh, yeah? Yes, I can. You don't even have an Xbox anymore, right? So that's in a sense, that's how enemies treat each other, right? These are weapons of war. We're at war, right? I have a position. You have a position. You're hindering me from my position. So I'm going to act against you to get you to stop. Does that make sense? So this passage has ramifications in a big scale, but it also has ramifications in a smaller scale. Amen. By the way, even trying to reach out, like as a church, trying to reach out to others with the Word of God, does everybody want the Word of God? No. Does anybody feel a little threatened or maybe they don't like you or I, because we just try to hand them a Bible or a tract or anything like that? Is anybody kind of not happy with you over that? Right. So that's because they perceive you as an enemy. The answer is not to go get your tank and drive it through their house. Right? Right? The answer is not to do a drive-by. Amen? I was hoping I'd get at least a couple amens on that one. Amen. The answer is not a biological attack. Right? That's not the answer. The Bible says wisdom is better than war. So in other words, wisdom is, how does God tell us to deal with hurts? How does God tell us to perceive when we're at an impasse with somebody, or somebody is reaching out to hurt, or we perceive that they are, whether they are or not? How do we deal with that? Well, that's what this passage is talking about. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. By the way, would you call yelling at somebody? We don't yell at people that are our friends. Hopefully not. Right? Right. So if you're yelling at somebody, that's your enemy. Let's just be honest. Amen. A lot of times we just need to be honest with terms. Amen. If you're yelling at somebody, would you call that a weapon of war, or would you call that wisdom from God? I'd call that a weapon of war. Amen. Why do people get angry and yell? It's to deactivate somebody. That's what anger does. By the way, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Is that interesting? Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and it become a snare to your soul. Sounds to me like anger shouldn't be pulled out on those that we love, and we shouldn't act like that. Why? That's a weapon of war. We should identify these weapons. We should identify in our life if we're acting with a weapon of war or if we're using God's wisdom, because this passage says wisdom is better than weapons of war. Does that make sense? And so that's what we're seeing in this text. Go ahead and turn over to James 3. Wisdom is the skillful use of right knowledge. The skillful use of right knowledge. Now, the one true source that we know to be right knowledge will be the Word of God. Amen? And so we would agree to that. If you're not sure on that end, if you see me afterwards, we'll walk through. By the way, we know it's not man's opinion. Man's opinion is not a source of verifiable truth. Amen? It may line up with God's Word, and of course, we would use God's Word as the guide there to prove all things, as 1 Thessalonians tells us to do. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. But it was the time frame of the judges that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. If everybody does what's right in their own eyes, what do we call that? That's chaos right there, right? I can do whatever I want. Well, be careful with that. Well, this just seems right to me to do, so I want to do it. Be careful with that. You need to prove. You need to remember the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We want to be really, really careful on what we feel is right for the time. If you're impulsive and you just act anytime something gets acted against you, you don't stop and you don't think and you're not slow to speak and you're not careful, then you're going to hurt somebody. And we don't put a firearm in a three-year-old's hand, hopefully not, amen, that's loaded and all that. Would we do that? No. Why? Because they're not responsible, amen. Some adults shouldn't have that either, amen. Does that make sense? Because they're impulsive and they don't think. And they act. They act before they should. They don't stop and think through the consequences and what's really being done there, amen. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. By the way, how we use the Bible. So the Bible is our source of truth. It's what we can trust. We know the Word of God. A holy man of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. And it's profitable. Amen. And so we know that this is truth. The truth will make us free, the Bible says in John 8. But how do we use the Bible? This is where wisdom comes in. Because you can serial killer type, the Word of God, where you're cutting this letter out and this word out and cutting these different pieces and this passage out and all that. You can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. If you're a novice or if you're disingenuous concerning the Bible, but we don't want to use the Bible that way. We want to use it the way God intended. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and guide us in all truth. Has anybody ever seen two preachers really go at it with the Word of God? It's horrible. It's horrible because they know the Bible. And they're using the Bible to just tear each other to shreds. Amen. Can I just say that wasn't God's point for giving us the Bible. Amen. That's not how we treat each other. That's not how we should treat each other. Amen. Just because you know some Scripture doesn't mean that you're wise. Just because you know some verses and know some Bible doesn't mean that you use it wisely. And so we want to seek God's wisdom in this. Look at James 3. You should be there now. James 3 and in verse number 13. The Bible asks this question, who is a wise man? Not a wise guy, amen. A wise man. And endued with knowledge among you. Endued means the knowledge of God is within him. Amen. Who is that wise person that's endued, that has knowledge in him? It says this, if that be you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Remember, it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh. And can I say it's out of the abundance of the heart that we do everything? Amen? We think before we do, even if it's a split second. Amen? We do what we do because of what we believe. Amen? And this passage says that if you're wise and if you have that knowledge of God, then show, then let it show, amen? And how's it going to show? Through a good conversation, a good lifestyle, a good handling of life, how you deal with matters, amen? And that's what this passage is saying. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. It says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So based on that, God's wisdom is seen outwardly in people. And it's seen through our conversation. We can say that we have wisdom, but of course, James is big on, don't just say it, show me. Right? I'm not so much interested in what people say. I'm more interested. I mean, I care what people say. I'm listening, but I really don't necessarily buy it 100% until I see it. And you're the same way, right? We want to see it. Don't just say it. I am really prompt. Yeah, but you never show up on time. Right? That's how a lot of people live. They say one thing, and then their life totally says something different. Does that make sense? So people say, I love God. Yeah, but your life doesn't reflect the Bible like any. Right? And that would be a problem. Does that make sense? And that would be hypocritical. So we need to pay attention to the life that we're living, because that's what people really are using to gauge the wisdom that we say we actually have. So God's wisdom is seen outwardly. Notice it says that God's wisdom is to be delivered with meekness. Now, Moses was said to be the meekest man on earth. We know Jesus was meek. That is often said to be like a power under control. Just because I can blow up on a situation doesn't mean I should, amen. Just because I can speak doesn't mean I should speak. Just because I can take matters in my own hands doesn't mean I should take matters in my own hands. Just because I'm frustrated doesn't mean that I should make everybody's life around me miserable. Amen. And so, by the way, just because I want something, and just because I'm mad because others want to take it from me, doesn't give me the right to act against others, because, hey, they might be right, and really maybe God does want that taken from me. Amen? We should seek God's will in everything, no matter how it affects us. Does that make sense? There's a time to get, Ecclesiastes says, and a time to lose. Last year, God had to teach me that lesson again, taught me very, 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 I get taught that one all the time, amen, because I don't like to lose. Does anybody here like to lose? Well, wait a second, the Bible says there's a time to lose. You better get used to like to lose, and amen. When it's time to lose, we need to be okay with it. Amen. Why? Because God says there's a time for that. You see, and so wise people realize it's not about me getting my way. It's about God getting his way through me. Does that make sense? And so that's what we see here. That's where meekness comes in. Being meek means that I'm not just going to blow up on it because I want it this way. No, stop. Maybe God's will is that this happens. You know what I mean? And so we just need to step back and be meek about it and not just force ourselves into a situation when it's not ours to force. Remember, Jesus could have called 10,000 of his angels to come and rescue him off the cross. Aren't you glad Jesus was meek that day on the cross? Amen. Right? Because he was going through a very agonizing event. An event in the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried out and said, Father, if there be any way for this cup to pass from me, let it pass from me. And there wasn't a way. And so Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will be done, thine be done. You see, that was meekness. He had power to do something. When Judas came up and betrayed him with a kiss, by the way, he actually, in speaking, caused all that whole army that was with him to fall backwards to the ground, right? And they got up. I would have thought about that point, those guys would have been like, I think this is the wrong place for us to be right now, but they didn't, amen. But Jesus let them, he willingly let them lead him away unto the high priest who mocked him and had him spat upon and on and on and on. And he was willing to go through that for the cause that was before him. And so we're supposed to be willing to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're going to go through hard times, and we need to leave our weapons of war put up. Amen? For wisdom's sake. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. This passage talks about how God's wisdom does not come from a person with bitterness. A person with bitterness, bitter over the way something has gone in your life, bitter at God, bitter at a person, bitter at an establishment, bitter at a government, bitter at whatever, amen? The root of bitterness, it springs up and it troubles us. And it causes many to be defiled around us because we no longer can have God's wisdom when we have bitterness. Bitterness is horrible. And it's one of those silent things that only you know sometimes that you have. And you got to get rid of it. You got to repent of bitterness. You got to lay that at the cross of Christ and let Christ heal you from your bitterness. Say, I don't know how. Then see me or see someone and let someone that is not bitter take the word of God and show you how you can be freed from that. Amen? Bitterness, because somebody hurt you, you can be bitter over so many things. If you get bitter, I'm telling you, you can no longer operate in God's wisdom. If you know someone that's bitter and they're a preacher or there's someone in the ministry, and, you know, a blind squirrel gets a nut every now and then, amen? Amen. And so if you know a preacher in a ministry, you know they're bitter, and you say, man, they really preach a good message. I'm glad God can use people like that. But you can't trust that person because they're not operating in God's wisdom. And they need to deal with that bitterness because they're really only going to hurt people because, you see, weapons of war cause destruction. You can't drop a bomb and it not hurt people. You can't pull out the AR and string a bunch of, you know, empty your 30-round mag and it not hurt people. You see, that's why wisdom is better. Wisdom is better than weapons of war because weapons of war go out and they hurt and they cause people to be bloodied and they cause people to be maimed and they destroy things, you see. And you can't get that stuff back. You can't undrop a bomb. How many times have we dropped bombs and wish we could get that bomb back with the wrong words or with anger or with lashing out or throwing a punch even, or using your car as a road rage. Hopefully no one's doing that, amen. That's it, I'm getting them. No. Think before you do that, amen. You don't want to do that, amen. So bitterness will keep you from wisdom. Envy will keep you from being able to operate in God's wisdom. Wanting what somebody else has so bad that you're willing to see them destroyed over it. That's not a good thing. That's envy. Or strife in your heart. Strife is, you're going to fight with everybody because your way is so important to you. You don't care who it is. You're going to go to Dukes with them to have your way no matter what because you're right. That's strife. That's friction. That's not good. And the Bible says if you're operating in bitterness or envy or strife, that is not the wisdom of God. That is not God's wisdom. That is actually earthly wisdom, which we'll see in this. We have seen in this text. So, what is God's wisdom? Well, it says it's first pure, right? It's not sinful. It's not to bring about an improper cause or to bring about something that's wrong based on the word of God. It's pure. There's pure in heart. It's for everybody's best interest. It's not just my best interest. Did you ever stop and think about God? Here's God who has invited us to pray unto Him, to come boldly before the throne of grace, to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And you got this saint praying this, and you got this saint praying this, and you got saints all over the world, amen, that are praying for this and for this and for this. How does God take all of those prayer requests and answer everybody righteously? Well, I want Him to answer me. Yeah, but he's not a respecter of persons. And you're not the most important person on earth. I know we like to think we are. You're just one amongst many, amen. And in God's sight, we're on the same level playing ground, amen. No matter the country we live in, the race that we are, the educational background that we might have, or the financial resources that we might have, or the positions that we carry, or what you've been through, or what you haven't been, it doesn't matter. We're all together. So as here we are, we're all praying. Do you ever wonder why sometimes it takes a while for a prayer to get answered? I believe that's exactly why. Because God's working out all these details, and he's not going to impose or force his will on any. Because we do have free will. And so he's working all things out. God works all things together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. And so here we see that. We have to be willing for that to take place. In our prayers, we must understand that God is righteous. And we need to have a pure heart in these things and pray as we pray to God, not my will, but thine be done. And be okay with maybe us not getting exactly what we're praying for, because it won't work out in the grand scheme of things. How about peaceable? I think one of the best qualities of a Christian is that peace that comes, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Well, you know, the Bible says that we are peacemakers. That's, by the way, that's why we try to help people with the Word of God, because we're trying to get them the gospel so that they can be saved and reconciled with their Creator. Amen? So they'll be at peace with God. Isn't being at peace with God a wonderful thing? You know that if you're not at peace with God tonight, God's Word can help you deal with whatever is that turmoil inside of you, and you can be at peace with, if you're willing, you can be at peace with God tonight. Peaceable. Wisdom of God is always peaceable. Is there anything that we can't work through? If as believers we have the Holy Spirit of God and we love God, is there anything that we can't work through in the Scriptures to a peaceable solution? That's why Paul reprimanded those in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6. They were taking each other to court. Fine, if you won't give me what I want, I'm taking you to court, buddy. Right? That's what was going on. He says, what are y'all doing? You're going to the unbelievers to solve your problems? What, you can't solve your own problems? Right? Why? Because we should be peaceable in this thing. And by the way, we should be willing to be defrauded if need be for peace. Amen? Well, amen. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Amen? Wisdom is better. How about gentle? Gentle. Amen? You know who really knows if we're gentle or not? Our kids. They can pick up this very, very easily, whether or not we're gentle. Amen. If you're harsh when you approach your kids, the first reaction is this, because they're not sure what's coming. Is it going to be a hug or a slug? You see, we want to be easy to be entreated. That just means approachable. You can come to me. You can talk with me. Amen. That's what that means. That's what we should desire. Amen. Full of mercy. Full of mercy, full of good fruits. What, by the way, fruit comes from what we sow. If you have good fruit, that means you're sowing some good seed. Amen? And we see that in this text. After it says full of good fruit, it says without partiality. It's not that I pick and choose who I want to be good to and who I don't. No, I'm without partiality. I'm without hypocrisy. I'm gonna just be sincere, the same person day in and day out, love people and not be hypocritical on my ability to discern and meet out the Word of God. How about sown in peace? We know that the wisdom of God, it sows peace. The wisdom of God it sows fruit of righteousness in others, and the wisdom of God makes peace for you and for others. That's what the wisdom of God does. And if you're not sure what the wisdom of God does or is, I would ask you, please review James chapter 3. Well, this goes on. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war. Weapons of war are always a last resort. Wisdom is better and should be sought first and continually until there is absolutely no other option, you see. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But, this passage says, one sinner destroyeth much good. Look over at Proverbs 16. A sinner is one who doesn't choose God's wisdom. In this passage, that's who that would be. You have the one that's operating in God's wisdom. And then, by contrast in this text, you have the sinner, or one who is transgressing that word of God or law of God. He is operating based on his own thought, his own desire, not on the wisdom of God's word. And so, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Proverbs 16, and in verse number 16, listen to this text. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction. This is a very interesting passage. By the way, pride is what keeps a sinner a sinner. Right? Because God says this, and I say, no, I don't see it that way. Right? Or, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do. It's my body. It's my life. You got to watch out for number one first, right? That's what people say. It's pride. It's that joy, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That's a real way to operate life, amen? Why? Because people are important. Others are important. God is important. But yet, pride will make it seem as if you're the most important person. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Look at verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. It's mischief. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. See, the heart of the wise, what's he do? He's teaching his mouth. How does he teach his mouth? By teaching his heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the wise is constantly going before the book of instruction and going before those that can help in these areas. So the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. There is a way, verse number 25 says, that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, you see. And so when we look at this text, we find that one sinner destroyeth much good. A sinner is one who has chosen his own way above God's way. A sinner is one who doesn't care what God says about what's right. He knows in his heart what's right because it feels right, and this is what he wants, and this is what he's going to do. But one sinner, the Bible says, destroyeth much good. I want to give you a couple other passages here. Just going to read through a couple. You can follow along if you like. Proverbs 16, 18. We know that it said, pride goeth before destruction, right? But in Proverbs 18, 6, it says this, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. It sounds very similar to what we saw in James 3, that strife that the fool would meddle with. Verse number 7, a fool's mouth is his destruction. Isn't that crazy? A fool, remember, who is a fool? The Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And if there is no God that can tell you right or wrong, then you're your own God. And you're what the Bible would say would be a sinner, one who's gone against God. Because on our own, we can't find right. Our mouth is our throat is an open sepulcher. Right, in Romans 3, it talks about with our tongue we have used deceit. There's none good, no, not one. We've all gone out of the way. We've all become unprofitable. You see, and so on our own, without God, we won't find good. So if you're going to have good, you're going to have to set aside your own thoughts and your own opinions and seek God's word on the matter. You see, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul, you see. And so this is just speaking and saying that if you're not wise, then the words you use will destroy and not hurt. Why? Because it becomes a weapon of war. Look over at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. But one sinner destroyeth much good. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. In Proverbs 24 and verse 1, it says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. You see, if you will build your house on the wisdom of God's word, then it will produce good. You see, if you will build on God's word, all it can do is produce good. You see, and that's what this passage is saying. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. He's growing. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. You know, those that claim to be wise oftentimes are afraid to speak to a subject because they're really not as wise as they want you to believe, you see. But one who has God's wisdom shouldn't be afraid to speak, right? Because it helps people, right? If you found help, if you've been saved, if you've been saved from your sin, isn't that maybe something that can help somebody else if you tell them how you came to know Christ? That's a testimony. We should be willing to tell others that. But if you say you're saved and then really aren't all that sure, you're not going to tell anybody about it because you're just not so sure on the matter. But if you were sure, you'd tell others about it, you see. If you had an addiction and you got some victory over that thing, by the word of God, by God's wisdom, wouldn't you tell someone about that? Well, sure you would. Matter of fact, I was able to sit across and talk to some people today about that. I've talked to many people about how you can be freed from your addiction. Listen, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. That's a worldly saying. That's not God's saying. God says we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. There is victory in Jesus. Amen. We're all sinners. It's not a disease. It's sin. Amen. And so we can have victory over sin, but if it's a disease, we're stuck, you see. But if you've gotten victory over some things, you've applied God's word to some things, then you would want to tell people about that. Why? Because it worked for you, and now you can show people how it can work for them, because God is no respecter of persons. And that's what we see in this gate. And so wisdom, God's wisdom, is too high for a fool. They don't see it. They don't see it as important because their wisdom, which is lower, is what they're clinging to. And because they won't let go of it, they can't attain unto God's wisdom. We find in Proverbs 14:1, listen to this, every wise woman buildeth her house. What does she build it upon? God's wisdom. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. You see, how does she pluck it down? With her mouth, with the contentions of her mouth. She plucks it down. Any good that's there, she comes in and boop, 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 done, destroyed. Amen. That's what happens. We want to be really careful that we don't follow that pattern of unbelief. Proverbs 26:12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Seest a man wise in his own conceit? His wisdom is from himself. Wisdom is from within. The Bible here says in Proverbs 26:12, there is more hope of a fool than of him. Because he's basing everything on himself. Everything on what he brings. His opinion means everything. And God says, there's no hope for him. You see. Why? Because the wisdom we need is not from within ourselves. It's from within this book. It's from God. You see. And if we're not willing to receive it, then ultimately we will just destroy everything around us. Because that's all a sinner can do. You see. All a sinner can do is provide destruction. All right, go back to Ecclesiastes 9:18. Let's check out our verse again, amen. Ecclesiastes 9:18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Let's say that together. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Again, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. So let us leave our weapons of war in the holster, amen. Let's leave our tank in the garage. Amen. If you got one, that is awesome. That is awesome. That would just be neat as can be, amen. Let's leave our bombs, amen, tightly secured in whatever that place is, you keep that so they don't get out, get in the wrong hands, amen. Let's be very careful that we leave our anger, if it's there, deeply hid, amen, so that it doesn't come up and blow up on people, amen. But if you got bitterness, envy, and strife in your heart, you can't do that. And when somebody hurts you, you will pull out those weapons of war. And you will destroy them with it. Because that's just what sinners do. But we need to let God's word help us to see that before we do that, we need to seek his wisdom and not ours so that we don't cause hurt. I'm just going to read, I have five quick one-line verses here I'm going to read as we close. In Proverbs, we've already read wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Proverbs 4, 7 through 9 says, wisdom is the principal thing. That's the first thing. Wisdom. Therefore, get wisdom. Did you ever meet those people that say, I got real problems. I don't got time for the Bible. I don't got time for church. I just got one verse for you. Wisdom, God's wisdom, is the principal thing, you see. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Consider Proverbs 11:12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. That word despise means to think little of. If you're void of wisdom, then you will ultimately despise everyone else. And you'll think very highly of yourself. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And then Isaiah 33:6. It's a really interesting verse to close on. Isaiah 33:6. It says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. What I love about this verse is we all should desire stability. Stability in our lives, stability mentally. Mental stability is good. Spiritual stability. Amen. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Amen. We should desire stability in our salvation. I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me. Why? I'm trusting God. Amen. Stability. Stability does not come from within man. It comes from the wisdom of God. And Isaiah said in chapter 33, verse 6, it says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. Let the wisdom of God become your stability. Let us not pull out the weapons of war to force people to give us our way, because our way may ultimately be bad for us. It may be bad for all, right? Because that's what's going to bring about destruction, not peace, not what we need. No, we just need God's wisdom. God's wisdom, God's knowledge must be the stability of our times. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. And I thank you for this message. It's been fun to study and been helpful for me to do so. And I pray that it's been a good, just quick study here on Wednesday night to be a help to each, Lord. We live in very troublesome times, and sometimes people try to poke and prod and get people to run over to this side, run over that side, and start opening our mouth and spewing out hatred and falsehoods and just hard stuff. And Lord, it's just not right, Lord. You've called us to be wise. You've called us to be wise in your word, to know the truth. The truth will make us free. And God, I pray that we would operate not in what we believe to be true from within, but that which we know to be true by faith, by your holy word. as the Holy Spirit has led us to see and believe. Help us with this, I pray. And Lord, if there be anyone here tonight that is lost, I pray that they would be interested in hearing more of the gospel so that you can do a work to save their soul. But God, might there be some that have bitterness in their heart or envy in their heart or maybe strife in their heart. And God, James says that we're to glory not and to lie not against the truth, not to act like we have truth when we're operating in that way. God, that is a pattern of the world. That's a worldly wisdom. That is not from above. Help us to see, God, that you have wisdom for us through your knowledge. But God, we're going to have to come with a right heart and spirit to be able to operate in that wisdom. I pray that each person here wants to be a help in this day that we live, wants to raise a godly seed, wants to spread forth thy truth and see seeds of righteousness planted all around, seeds of peace. Thank you, God, that you've given us the opportunity to be peacemakers, God, and you've given us the answers in your word to deal with any question or anything that would come our way. But God, we have to operate in this personally and not build a life that we're trying to protect, but yet, God, just yielded to you in all things. God, help us with this, I pray. We know that wisdom is the principal thing. And God, help us with this text of Scripture today. We know that wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. Help us with this text tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.